headlines this hour. Experts warn that the US foreclosure moratorium is pinching both investors and loan seekers. The Nobel Economics Laureate sees a painful US recovery. French unions threaten another pension strike, this time open-ended. And Syria condemns Israel's policy of forced loyalty.
The decision that is related to make those who are not Jewish to take an oath of allegiance to Israel reflects the Israeli fascism.
Hello everyone and welcome to the news here on Press TV. In the US, a temporary foreclosure moratorium has made new home loans more expensive and harder to obtain. This comes as judicial authorities have launched a probe into mortgage lenders' alleged use of phony court papers to evict homeowners. On Friday, Bank of America said it will temporarily halt foreclosures nationwide while it reviews its foreclosure processes. Investor groups are meanwhile warning that pauses in foreclosures could further hobble the economy and penalize investors. Some banks reported forging of court papers to evict homeowners have mounted pressure on U.S. President Barack Obama to halt foreclosures. The White House has declined to back such calls so far. To discuss this more, we're joined from Washington by Jacob Kierkegaard, who's with the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Welcome to the program, sir. The news is serious indeed. I mean, we're speaking of forged documents, including signatures of the customers by banks. How could such a breach of law take place?
Well, I think really there's several aspects here. One is the aspect that this particular part of the legal administration, so to speak, of the U.S. economies is actually done at the state level. It's not a federal thing, it's at the state level, and therefore it can be very different from state to state, and that makes it all the more difficult to actually enforce at the national level, simply because the legal rules are very different. Secondly, there's also no doubt that the foreclosure process as it has existed in the United States, the administrative apparatus administering it, has basically been overwhelmed by the scale of the economic slowdown and the associated explosion in the number of foreclosures. So it's essentially a case of both an explosion of demand for these services and then a very intransparent and often probably relatively irrational state-level jurisdictions surrounding them.
Well, interestingly, reports show that all along this fraudulent paperwork, African-American customers with the same credit scores were hit more than their white counterparts. I mean, racial discrimination, another drawdown.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, and this has been a characteristic throughout the so-called subprime mortgage crisis, which essentially started with the number of African-American neighborhoods, which typically were not able to obtain regular mortgages. They were basically targeted by subprime mortgage lenders, you know, as essentially a group that did not already own their homes, and therefore, in terms of trying to develop their business, they were sold these subprime mortgages, and therefore, when the bubble burst, and it turned out that many of these people could no longer afford to pay for these mortgages, you have seen the associated disproportionate rise in the number of African Americans suffering their homes going into foreclosure. So the real issue here is actually a kind of racial profiling from all the way going back to the origination of these loans that have subsequently gone into default.
Well, there are stories also about insurance companies selling title insurance to borrowers. How are insurance companies involved in this process?
Well, I mean, essentially, insurance companies are involved at multiple levels. They're essentially, you know, in the business of selling security for anything that people would like to be insured against. And in this case, there's clearly homeowners and administrators of banks and other investors that are interested in buying protection against what has been a historically unprecedented level of foreclosures. But I think the broader point here really is that this is how the financial services system to a certain extent operates unless it has very clear and very transparent regulation attached to it, which unfortunately is something that was blatantly missing during the economic boom years in the housing market here in the United States. And that's what we continue to pay the price for today.
Well, now, as we understand, the White House and Wall Street are both opposing the moratorium put forth by attorneys. Why is there opposition, and what would be the consequences?
Well, the Wall Street, the Wall Street interest here is very clear. They don't want a moratorium on foreclosures because it's going to essentially freeze the housing market. Because you will no longer be able to essentially conduct buying transactions of mortgages or foreclosed homes, which will have a very, very detrimental impact on the broader housing market. Because essentially, I would predict that the entire housing market would freeze up, because people who are looking to buy a house and maybe perhaps buy a house that comes through a foreclosure, they're going to stop. They're going to wait to see what the price level will actually be when these foreclosures, foreclosed properties, are finally put on the market. And therefore, the longer that takes, the lower house prices are most likely to fall here in the U.S. And that, of course, has additional bad implications for the broader economic recovery. With respect to the White House, they're opposed to the moratorium for essentially that reason, namely that a moratorium will freeze the broader housing market and be very bad for broader economic growth in the United States, with all the associated implications for unemployment, which of course is very important now that we're in the middle of an election season.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Many thanks to Jacob Kierkegaard with the Peterson Institute for International Economics from Washington. Now, a newly crowned Nobel laureate for economics has said the U.S. economy is facing a slow and painful recovery. MIT professor Peter Diamond made the prediction at his first press conference since winning the award. However, Diamond defended the widely unpopular government bailout of the U.S.'s biggest banking institutions. Diamond's remarks came after the U.S. government confirmed that the pace of economic recovery has remained slow. The unemployment rate has been forecast to return to its recent 10.1% peak by the middle of next year. Analysts believe the current growth rate is not strong enough to bring down unemployment rates. The U.S. economy will grow through 2011 at a slower pace than previously thought. That's the outcome of a new survey by the National Association of Business Economics. The top economists surveyed have reduced their forecast for annual economic growth to 2.6% through 2010 and 2011. That's down from the previous forecast of 3.2% in May. They say the economy will not be able to bring down the high unemployment rate and the country's soaring budget deficit. The forecasters expect the deficit to stay at, quote, an extreme level of over $1 trillion. The mainly downbeat report comes as persistently high unemployment, weak consumer spending, and sluggish wages drag the U.S. economy down. France faces major disruption as workers have once again taken to the streets to protest against a planned pension reform. This is the fourth such strike since lawmakers approved the increase of the retirement age from 60 to 62. Workers are threatening to go on an open-ended strike. Half of flights to and from Paris Orly Airport will be cancelled because of walkouts. And the Paris Metro is expected to be badly hit as transport workers started their strike late Monday. Continuing protests have already caused disruptions and shut down ports across the country. Union leaders have called for a national day of strikes on October 16th. The pension bill is a key plank of President Nicolas Sarkozy's reforms. Three mass protests over the past month have failed to make the government drop the plan. The Palestinian Authority, or PA, has rejected the Israeli premier's demand that it recognize Israel as a Jewish state in return for a settlement freeze. A spokesman for acting PA chief, Mahmoud Abbas, says all settlements are illegal and are not related to the talks with Israel.
Our position is clear. The Palestinian position is clear enough. There should be total cessation for any settlement activities because all settlements are illegal. And this is not just the Palestinian position. It had been backed and supported in the Arab summit yesterday in Libya. This is the position of President Abbas. And this position has been informed to the Americans and they are aware of it. And there is no connection between this issue and going back to the negotiations and the demand of the Prime Minister of Israel. We have the letter of recognition between the PLO and the Israeli authorities more than 15 years ago. We move and we negotiate on these bases. Anything else, we are not interested.
In a speech to the Knesset on Monday, Netanyahu said he will ask his cabinet for a freeze on settlement activities in exchange for Palestinian recognition of Israel as a Jewish state. Israel's refusal to extend its earlier partial settlement moratorium has stalled the direct talks with the PA. This just a month after they were launched. The PA earlier said it will walk away from the talks if Israel's now expired partial settlement freeze does not remain in place. Syrian president has strongly condemned Tel Aviv's decision to force Palestinians to pledge loyalty to Israel. Israeli cabinet on Sunday approved a bill to force non-Jews to swear an oath of loyalty to Israel.
The decision that is related to make those who are not Jewish to take an oath of allegiance to Israel reflects the Israeli fascism that appears in the killings and such moves.
Assad was speaking after meeting Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Damascus. He also commented on peace talks with Tel Aviv. He said the atmosphere is not right for such negotiations. Assad accused Israel of working against peace. Syria wants Israel to end its occupation of the strategic Golan Heights. Tel Aviv took the Golan Heights during the 1967 Six-Day War. The international community does not recognize Israel's occupation of the Heights. UN Resolution 242 has obliged Israel to leave the region. You're watching Press TV. A recap of the headlines this hour. Experts warn that the US foreclosure moratorium is pinching both investors and loan seekers. The Nobel Economics Laureate sees a painful US recovery. French unions threaten another pension strike, this time open-ended. And Syria condemns Israel's policy of forced loyalty.
The decision that is related to make those who are not Jewish to take an oath of allegiance to Israel reflects the Israeli fascism.